Once again, it's great to be in front of a fellow artist, my fellow artist brother. Who are you?
Sean Rodriguez. How you doing?
Sean, what medium of art do you express in?
Photography, portrait, fashion, street art, black and white.
When did you decide that this art form was the platform that would help you best express yourself?
I would say high school when I took movie class. I wanted to be a director, but being in the hood, you can't really get all that director stuff. So the second platform was like photography, and then reading comic books and looking at anime, you see the composition and the vanishing points and all that of how someone like Jim Lee would do stuff. And I just fuse that with the photography for everyday life and try to express myself that way.
Who or what set you on this path? What was your inspiration?
Comic books, which as weird as that, comic books and movies. That was my inspiration for photography, as strange as that sounds. I would daydream in school or whatnot, and I would just start seeing things out the window and just imagining action scenes or some type of just looking at the angle differently, I guess, compared to what everyone else saw. Now I just go, oh, yeah, I want to take a picture of that. From there, Coen Brothers, just the way, and Sam Mendes, like Road to Perdition, how it was just a simple, someone laying down on the ground in an apartment. You just saw it was filmed differently. There was just something about it that just strikes you that, like, oh, okay, that's amazing, but so normal. So it was stuff like that that kind of inspired me.
What's your educational background around your art? Did you self-study? Did you have a professional or personal trainer? Did you go to school?
Self-studied. Tried to do the school thing. Grades were horrible. Couldn't bring them up to go to, like, LaGuardia, and that really hurt. From there, just looking at the people like Tarantino, Spielberg, those were my teachers, just looking at stuff, how they did things.
What personal value do you get out of working in your art form?
My brain shuts off from the everyday life of just, you hear nonsense and whatever current events going on. You just want to take a break from that. You get to appreciate life more. The simplest things are just people walking by. You start to wonder, like, what's that person up to? What's that person all about? Or that object that they have, and like, why did they do this? Why did they buy that? Or what's the relationship between them and that thing? And yeah, it's an escape goal.
What value do others receive from your art? Do you teach? Do you have a business? Is it strictly personal at this point?
I guess you can say semi-pro. I just got paid for something. So I guess, yes, whew, the starving artist. But I just got paid for something. Not exactly what I wanted to do. It was like a birthday party and stuff like that. I wanted to do like some type of noirish space opera. That's a good
noirish space opera. I think you just expanded my vocabulary.
Yeah.
What boundaries, either physical or mental, do you cross to access your best art space or the zone?
When I get in the zone of things, it's usually when, I guess like a lot of artists, you suffer from some type of pain, as many crazy as that sounds. When I'm happy, I don't get in the zone. So it's like, I guess one of those writers also where they drink and smoke, and that's how, you know, you have to be the press or a comedian. Like, they're always a sad clown in real life, but in the most funniest person, you're like, what the? I think that's kind of like me. I have to go through some stuff in order to then see the beauty around me and then try to capture that moment.
What's your most recent pain then that has inspired you to push forward with any art stuff that you're working on?
Women. The number one. Women. Yeah. Going some things with that.
What are some lines that you will not cross with your art?
You know, that's tough to say because I just feel as though art itself should be uncensored. As long as I try to respect the subject and the situation also.
So could you share either an actual or maybe a hypothetical situation that would cause you to kind of think about crossing the boundary? And then you would just say, I see a bigger reward at the end of this artistic endeavor, so I'm going to go for it.
One of the most recent things that I'm trying to do, which is this kind of difficult, I guess, trying to take moments with homeless people. That's kind of a one where you have to question yourself because you don't want to be disrespectful. But at the same time, there's something there that you want to put out there to show the world, especially here in New York City. A lot of people just ignore the homeless. They don't really see them as individuals. Where I want to put that out there and show them this is a human being, that they're going through trials and tribulations of something. I try to talk to them first. Sometimes, you know, they're not really too happy about it. I go for a wider lens or a long range lens, and you got to go for the candid action shot. So that's why I'm saying, depending on the situation, you kind of go paparazzi, which is kind of a bad thing, but, you know, but not, yeah, try to respect.
What role does the current state of our world, either political, social, or environmental, play in influencing your art?
I try to show the world how I not just want it to, for it to be, I try not to be biased with my work with individuals, whether it's gender, race, status of life, whether rich or poor. I just try to be balanced out. I don't want to be put in a box where it's just, okay, he's from the ghetto, so he only shoots the ghetto, and then he only knows the ghetto. How I would look, you wouldn't think I would be into fashion. I just want to show not only the world that I like to be in, but just the world in general.
Okay, I feel that the term ghetto means different things for different people.
Yes.
So, Sean, what is your reality about that term?
Reality about the ghetto is just someone who's from the hood, someone who knows how a pissy elevator smells no matter what time of the day. Someone who knows what a bodega is, a community that you see struggle, you see pain, you see so many talented people, but they're just kind of trapped in the situation of poverty or hallucinations with drugs, alcohol. But also there's a shining light where there's a community of love, family. That's kind of like the ghetto.
What are some tools or technology that help you best express your art?
Right now, it's my DSLR and Lightroom. That's what I'm using mostly for my go-to with stuff. I'm slowly getting in there with studio lighting and a speed light.
What are some personal habits that you employ to successfully support your artistic expression?
I think I have in mind is not really being noticed. As I don't know if that's a habit, but just when I'm in a group and stuff like that, I'm barely the one that talks. So it's a habit of mine just to be shy and just stand back. And then as big as I am, people don't notice me.
Do you find that to be positively supportive? Does that push you forward as an artist to be, quote unquote, fly on the wall?
Yeah. And that helps tremendously as so I can just always capture that candid moment. That's something as for me as a photographer, I love to do. I don't like to force a scene. I prefer the real moment of a situation. But it also helps me when I do get that moment, it's a form of expression, which then I guess kind of contradicts me being the fly on the wall because I want to express myself and show the world what's going on or how I'm feeling at the moment with that pic.
What event in your life, either personal or artistic, has caused you to question what you were doing in terms of expressing your art? Like a major failure or a personal low point that has caused you to kind of look over the edge and say, you know, should I still be doing this? Do I have what it takes? Can you share that moment with us?
2 months ago, during the Fashion Week in New York, and for some reason, I was not treated the same way as other photographers, and I'm guessing because of a certain look that I had. And other photographers were kind of giving me the bump away or trying to get in the way of my shots and whatnot. And I thought as a community, as a group of respected photographers, this is how, you know, hey man, this is here, I'm here. And I was being respectful with them, but it was just, no, it was very, as in almost everything, and I guess in a competitive field, it's kind of cutthroat.
How does a photographer get access to Fashion Week? Like, is there some sort of application that you have to fill out? Is it an open call?
Many routes to go through, especially when you see one popping up. You just got to make calls out there to the people in charge, the PR people, try to get a press pass. If not, one thing that I did when I couldn't get access, I just went right in.
Renegade style.
Sometimes you got to do to get noticed then. But I tried it. I said, you know, I couldn't get a press pass. I wasn't planning on paying a price of admission. So I just decided, you know what? I'm going to walk in with my bag, see what happens. Someone looked at me and go, oh, press. Just sign right in.
Did it work out?
Yeah. Got some great pics. Same thing with concert events. They don't want the DSLR. So I couldn't get the press pass. But if you get there early, be front row, get the same pics as everyone else.
What about that type of camera that had them ask you to not use it?
So with sporting events, concerts, because it's professional, they don't want you to have it because you can sell it. Some type of copyright law that prevents you from bringing it. But I've come across many cool security. I guess, you know, you just got to treat people like people instead of being a dick. You go places.
What project, past completed, are you most proud of? Tell us a little bit about that.
The Smithsonian had a Native American fashion show, which was Native American fashion designers with Native American models. And I didn't know nothing of that world, you know, because, I mean, you think of Native American fashion as kind of stereotypical, but they had some out there. One woman had like a steampunk look with the hat, and then like a, it was just out there. And then one of the fashion designers, they liked my work. We're talking right now, I can work future projects with them.
It's been said that a fanatic redoubles his efforts while losing sight of his goal. Mm-hmm. What are some telltale signs that a project is past its prime? At what point do you get the hint that it may be time to switch gears, take a rest from that project, or just completely scrap it?
For me, there was something like that because I was right now I'm doing night street photography, and I'm kind of having a problem with that right now. I think it's like a mental block where the pictures you're taking night in, night out, you're just like, I'm not feeling these things. There's something going on where I just can't capture what I'm looking for. I see it in my mind and I see it at that moment, but for some reason I'm not capturing. I don't know what it is. When you get that happening, you take a little breather. And even like with the Lightroom, I'm trying with the Lightroom, fixing it up that way, trying black and white, and it's just not, I don't completely abandon it, but I'll just go to something else to see if it's just me or it's just a particular genre or topic right there.
Is there a different feel to shooting at night as compared to shooting during the daytime? Obviously, the lighting is a huge contrast, but what about the energy itself? Because people act and react differently depending on time of day.
Definitely.
So is there any noticeable or appreciable switch or, I guess, difference between shooting subjects during the daytime versus this night shooting project?
Of course, one of the main things is traffic. That's one of the major differences that you'll notice. Nighttime is more, especially if you're cityscape shooting, you get the neighborhood or the building and whatnot for me, what it really is at that moment. It's this building, and for me, it's a character, and nothing else is interfering, so I'm just getting that at that moment. Whereas daytime, you know, there's a lot of people walking by, there's cars, there's the sun reflecting it, so there's a lot of noise and just interference going on that you're not getting the subject at its purest form. So I think with nighttime, it feels more pure at night, whereas the daytime, since everyone's out there, it's almost like wearing a mask for me for daytime shooting because of the light, of it being crowded. You can't find people or things at its most realist moment.
Do you feel you take better photos at night?
So I feel that, but I'm not capturing it. I feel as though from 6 a.m. to 3, I get good pics, but I don't feel its essence. I feel like this is, it's like a stage. From that 5 to 9 o'clock, right, where especially now in the summertime, the sun's coming out a little later, there's a feeling of the city where they're relaxing, they're more loose. You get people not as antsy, reading a book, listening to music. There's just a calmness to them. Whereas at nighttime, that's when it's the quietest. And that's what I'm trying to get that night from 10 to 3 a.m. Just can't get that that story.
You mentioned something about essence, mm-hmm. in terms of it coming out in, actually coming out more in a night photo versus a day photo.
Yes.
What does the essence look like to you in a photo?
One of the things I'm trying to do is like capture something of Chinatown at night, the neighborhood city, the block. I mentioned earlier the noir type feel. That's what I kind of want to get in my pictures at night. It pops up with the neon lights, the contrast between light and dark, the trash, the stairs, the bulb just dimming in and out. It's that. That's what I try to capture in the essence of it. The raw, the New York that people don't really see, just that raw feel. And that's the other thing I try to capture. I think that's my other problem too with cityscaping pictures. Coming from the 80s, 90s New York, you don't get that now with New New York. I call it New New York ever since the Freedom Tower. I hate this New New York. So my goal is to capture whatever remnants left of old New York. I think the night brings it out the most.
Do you consider imitation to be a form of flattery?
Yes. I think we all do it as artists. I mean, that's how we all start out. We love looking at a particular thing. Especially when I was drawing, you would imitate, like I said, like J. Scott Campbell, Joe Madureira, you would just imitate that Dragon Ball Z style. Your eyes would always have that Dragon Ball look. And then eventually you would just start going into your own. There'll be a point in your life where you're just like, I don't want to keep copying now. So I think every artist goes through that. And if you go to that point and you still start copying, then it's not no longer imitation. You're just downright stealing.
Can you pinpoint a time where you said, okay, the training wheels of using these established artists as guidelines is done. Now it's time for me to spread my own wings. Can you pinpoint that time when that became a conscious choice?
I can't pinpoint like the exact year or something, but there was a moment in my life where like when I want to do this professionally. At that moment, which was in my 20s, where it was like, I can't go up to any company and go here. And they look at it and go, if I wanted that, I get, you know, Adam Hughes or somebody like that. I mean, you're cheaper, yeah, but I think when you realize that, okay, I don't want to do this as a hobby, I want to do this profession, that's when you have to stop with the copying and just use it as a reference, but not as a crutch.
What's the biggest competitive aspect of your art form?
Just being in New York City, everyone's a photographer, you know, even with a phone.
Please go more into detail on that.
Everyone, especially, you know, 21st century with these iPhones now, and now that they're adding the bokeh aspect to it, a lot of individuals that you want to work with or you want them to hire you, they just go, well, I can do that myself. You know, the profession is watered down because there's so many of us and so many aspiring photographers out there. So then there's the persons who feel as though they don't want to pay you. And it's just, oh, just use this as a reference to build your portfolio, stuff like that.
What do you think separates someone with an iPhone from somebody who is a professional photographer? What are some aspects that you can just cut down the line and say, okay, this guy is just dabbling, but this guy is really serious about it?
I think when you look for composition, when you know what you're shooting rather than... So a lot of people with iPhones, they'll just shoot the object in front of them and point and click. Whereas a photographer... There's the object, but then there's what's behind the object. What's the angle that I'm going for here? Am I going for a bug eye view? Am I going for a helicopter hairline view? Is there a rhythm going in the background that I'm also trying to capture? Is there action also in the background as well with the foreground? When you're not just a snap and shoot person, that's the difference between that and photographer.
What are your top three distractions?
Procrastination of any kind, whether it's TV, movies, video games, and like that, where just I think like, oh, I got it, I'll do it later. Fear, and...
You only got two, that's it?
Yeah.
Two strong ones.
Yeah, they're heavy hitters.
What are your top three energy boosters?
Books, movies, being outside in the city, just walking about and just seeing something happen and you go, oh, okay. And then I was like, I want that moment.
If money, personnel, equipment, and location were no object, how would you create your dream project?
So a dream project of mine would be to have either a photo essay or a movie of a space opera noir, which is like you'll take the elements of the latest movie that's come out, Valerian, and fuse Sin City and sprinkle some Blade Runner. You take this urban-like city, kind of gritty, but there's just a lot of culture from the world, African culture, Japanese culture, and it's kind of blossomed as just a natural way of life of just like how hip-hop is with clothing, music, dance, with a little mixture of aliens.
What advice do you recommend to someone who's just getting started?
Never give up. As cliche as that is, never give up. Never accept no. I learned that most recently. You're going to get a lot of no's. There's going to be a lot of people in your life that mean well, but they don't understand your way of thinking and your way of life. For example, they want you to have a 9-to-5, which that's cool and all. But being an artist, it's hell mentally to just live that life. You have to express yourself. You can't put your passion aside and put it in a box because other people are telling you that's cool and all, but it's a hobby. You need to really focus on the realness of things. That's their real life. Your real life is art. Your real life is an imagination world that you want to express and show others that there's more to it than black and white. There is color. So I would say don't get distracted and don't be discouraged.
And finally, where can people find your work or where can people connect with you?
Right now, since still starting out, I don't have a website yet, but I do have an Instagram account, which is vertigo_knight, as in like the King Arthur. Same thing with my Twitter account. I have some illustrations on DeviantArt, which is Vertigo, and then with a zero, and then Knight. And Facebook, Sean Rodriguez, and then my photography account is VK_photography.
Excellent. It was great talking with the fellow artist brother. Sean, it was great having you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Once again, this is Lloyd Bison.
Peace.